This morning's message is coming from the book of Ezekiel 38 chapter, first through the 23rd verse. And as I said, the title of this morning's message is "The Pope Warns Flock He Is Overseer Of." You know, that's the duty of an overseer, a shepherd, is to warn the flock. We see Ezekiel, where God had told him to warn the people and that they would turn from their sins and he would hear their voice. That's what my job is to warn the flock. There'll be many different shepherds, there'll be many different flocks, but we know it's just one fold that God has and another fold he has that he has to bring with him. So there are different or various places where God's people are scattered throughout the earth. This week, we heard the Pope speaking from Mexico. The Pope made a statement in which, being the overseer of the Catholic Church, he did his job because there'd be many Christian people, so-called Christian people, that are following politics and don't know the things that you do politically, the things that you do in your life, everything that you do marks you. That's part of the mark of the beast, who you accept, who you follow politically and spiritually. You can't be a Christian and live the way of the world, because living the way of the world is part of the mark of the beast. One political figure was upset because the Pope had warned his flock not to follow that leader, because that particular leader is not a Christian. He's not a true Christian. We are to tell people, when we see political leaders that could cause detrimental harm to the flock, as I said in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, the 28th verse, we'll start at the 26th verse and read with the what's the Pope's duty? What's my duty? What's any preacher's duty? Paul speaks of that. He says, "God will, wherefore I take you to record this day, that I'm pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed unto yourselves, therefore, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the flock of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in you, among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day." Whether the Catholic people paid attention to what the Pope said or not, he did his responsibility unto God, and that is warn them that you can't accept the mark of the beast by following someone that's not a Christian. It's not a stamp on your forehead. It's a way of life that you live, which is the mark of the beast. It's what you follow, what's your life, what the walk is that you do. That's the mark of the beast. Now, he had warned people. This morning I heard Angela Merkel from Germany had warned Iran, and she spoke up for the Jewish people. She says Iran must accept Israel as a state, the people of Israel, before there can be any relationships with Iran. We see where the Pope was speaking to the Mexicans and to different immigrants and says, anybody that builds walls instead of building bridges, it's not a true Christian. And there are a lot of people that has arisen up saying perverse things, great swelling words, to draw people after themselves. They want to follow him. That's peculiar to what we're talking to about this morning. It's peculiar that Deacon Hubbard would read Isaiah, the second chapter, that verse that he was reading where it says, and many people shall go and say, come, let us go into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Jerusalem not being a geographical place there, because Jerusalem is throughout the whole earth. Wherever God's people are scattered, wherever they worship God in spirit and in truth, there God is. So that's his people. But encompassed about around God's people here in the United States, in Austria, in New Zealand, in Russia, wherever God may be, there's also a nation that God's about to judge. Whether it be Hezbollah, Boca Raton, whether it be ISIS, whether it be the followers in this nation that say that they are Christians but are not Christians, you've been warned. That's a group of people that God had spoken of earlier that was going to deceive, lead you away from God. And that fourth verse says, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many a peoples, and they shall beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. God's going to be fighting this battle to where it's no Armageddon, to where when these people come up against you, they'll realize that God is fighting the battle. They'll realize that God's people don't have to go to arms, that God is their arms. So first of all, we see assault upon God's people. There's assault upon God's people now, and it's by many a nation. It's by many a people. Some of those people are in your own homes. He says, your enemies will be those of your own family. Those enemies come in many shapes and guises and forms, Gog and Magog. God talked about those nations, those people earlier in his ministry when he was talking to Ezekiel, the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, where we have our scripture text coming from. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, set thine face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against it. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thine jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army and horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great army, with bucklers, shields, all of them pounding swords. God said he was going to bring his people back into the land. A people that was going to be his people, that was going to dwell safely and securely. There's a lot of people plotting on you this morning. There's a lot of people plotting on you every day because they see you, that you're a child of God, that you have the testimony of Jesus Christ. They want to gather spoil from you. They want to make you a prey. They want to take what you have. And God's not going to allow that to come to be. See, when he was telling Ezekiel that his people was going to be placed back in the land, that was a future prophecy. That didn't happen exactly at that time. Because God was going to fight for his people when he gave them of his spirit, and they had rest in him and in his kingdom. God had given his people rest. That's what the Sabbath day signifies, a rest unto God. God was going to give his people rest when they entered into the promised land. But they had to learn to allow God to fight their battle. They had to completely trust and depend upon God, not their swords, not their military, their power, their horses, their wealth, and their finances to deliver them. They had to trust completely and rely upon God. So we see here where God launches assault upon God's people. He launches assault upon God's people. This particular politician had said that he had a silent majority in the United States. You see, in other words, God is showing himself down, and God's people see the war being put in array. It sees the battle being put in array. There is a silent majority that follows this man, and it's a dangerous majority because they're like Joseph brothers. They call you brother and they act like they're doing things to do good for you, but their intent was to cause harm. Joseph's brother's intent was to cause harm to Joseph. There are a lot of people out there, their underlying motives and intents, even though they speak with their mouth great swelling words to say that they're in your favor, but in their heart, God sees the perverseness of their thoughts, of their ways. He says in verse 5, listen at the name of these people. Persia, which is Iran. I'll tell you about Persia this morning, what Angela Merkel said about Iran. Cush, which is Ethiopia, that's Africa. That's where Boca Raton, a lot of the people that belong with the ISIS state, a lot of that where they captured those young ladies over there, a lot of the violence that's going on in Africa that Islam and the Muslims are carrying out, arrayed against God's people, arrayed against Christians, because they see their vulnerability. But God's going to fight for his people. Put, which is Libya in North Africa. And we see where Libya is trying to install a government, but ISIS is trying to get in there to disrupt things. So he's talking about people that have rejected God and they live by the sword. That's what this politician, that's what the Pope was saying. This man lives by the sword. The politicians, what they're promising the people of violence now, the people that are in the churches that they say are God's people that dwell among us, they are promising to put ever more into defense, into the military, because they think that's where you win at. We have another faction that's from the Democratic Party that's preaching socialism. They're making promises to our children of a socialist agenda that it could never come about because it's of a lazy variety. It's of sharing with people that don't want to work, with people that want entitlement programs, that want things, but are not willing to labor for those things, thinking that someone should just give them and share in the loot with them. They want to share in the spoil of the United States. They want to share in the advancement, but they don't want to put their shoulders to the grindstone. They don't want to labor among us. So we have that faction, one from the Republican, one from the Democratic Party. They are arrayed against us. All these words and things, and you don't see this arising politically because you're not in communication with God. But God's people that are in communication with God are staying back from this because politics is one of the most dangerous things that you could get involved in. It's just as dangerous almost as religion. There's nothing more dangerous than a politician that says he's a Christian and that he's not a Christian. So that's a double-edged sword there. He says, even to the remote parts of the north, many people will come down. Now, they've made vast preparations throughout. They've been preparing ever since the beginning of the United States. The education base in the United States, the religious base, all this has come from the beginning. When the founding fathers framed and started the United States, you know, they wouldn't allow Christmas and those holidays in because they were pagan. But now we have these pagan holidays and things that the pseudo-Christians are using to deceive the Christians into idolatry. But God's people are coming out from that. And you see in the book of Revelation, he says, come out from among them, my people. This is assault. So God's people will learn not to be given to idolatry. They'll learn who to follow and what they're following. They won't be deceived. God's people, the ones that's going to be victorious, the ones that's going to be overcomers, and here in the last day that won't be overcame, they'll do this by the blood of the Lamb. They'll do this by the peace, by the joy of Jesus Christ, which is their strength. They'll know whom they serve. The vast preparations of armies, horsemen, power, the financial resources, the silent people that are following. It says, in all thine army, verse 7, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Verse 7, get ready, be prepared. keep up all of your armies around you, mobilize and take command of them. God's telling them, get yourself ready. They have gotten themselves ready, but this is kind of ironic because God's going to do the fight. He said, okay, you ready? You got shield, buckler, you got all this power? That's God talking to Gog and Magog from the land of Magog. You think that you will come in and do God's people something and God's going to allow that to happen? Gird up your loins. Get ready for a fight. Because the battle is the Lord's. It's not my battle. See, I've learned to hold my peace. If you would just learn to hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles, victory shall be yours. Victory be yours. This is by design by God. God designs life. God designs everything that happens in life. Else he wouldn't be omniscient God. He wouldn't be omniscient if he wasn't in control of all things at all times. And we read the 8th verse to the 13th verse. Let's see what's happening here. And as we read, we say, after many days there shall be visited in the latter years, you shall come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered out of many peoples, against the mountains of Israel. That was what Deacon was talking about in the second chapter of Isaiah. The mountains of Israel. In other words, the churches and the places, the synagogues of God, where God is worshipped, where we have peace. But we have these politicians. We have people talking about we will have armed guards. We will have people that's trained to use guns and weapons in our churches. Not in the churches of God you want. Those will be beaten into plowshares. Those will be beaten into something that you can use for agriculture or something you could use to help. You won't bring guns in these churches, not of God's churches. Because God's your protection. He's your walls. God's going to tear down the walls. He tore down the walls of partition separating his people. He's not going to allow anyone else to build those walls back up. He told Peter to put up your sword. Put up your sword. The sword he told Peter to take was the word of God. That's all you need is God's word. You don't need nothing else but God's word. That's your protection. That's your shield and buckler. That's the source of your strength. That's where your courage comes from. It's God's word. He says, against the mountains of Israel, which has always been always a waste, but its people were brought out of the nations, and they, all of them, are dwelling safely. You shall ascend and come in like a storm. You shall be like a cloud to cover the land, you and all your troops and many people with you. In other words, we see where state by state, these weakened forces are arrayed and look like they have a larger percentage than God's people does. But looks are deceiving. Looks are deceiving. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. It looks like the world is against us, but as Elijah said, there'd be more for us than against us. If you can just open up your spiritual eyes, allow God to anoint your eyes with eyesight and see that who's fighting for you. To see the Lord, he has his angels encamped around you. If you would just open up your eyes, if you would let God be your leader and God be your guide. All those refugees have fled from Syria, have fled from persecution in Cuba, have fled from all these other nations, from wherever you come from, God has placed you. He has scattered his people throughout the earth. God scatters. He scattered you to where you are to build you up, not to tear you down. He gathered you there to plant and not tear down. If you would trust and believe in him, that's your home wherever you at. Those are your people, whoever you're among. He's tearing down the walls of nations. The reason he told his disciples to go ye into all nations and make disciples of them. So there's no walls of separation between us, not religion, not any of these things. God's going to have one religion. That's the believers of Jesus Christ. God's going to have one people, and it's going to be in the mountain of God. So that's where we're coming from. They're going to be encamped around. Everywhere you go, look like there are those that are against you. Sometime you get into serving God, looks like a lot of your people start talking about your religion. You follow those old people. You believe in that day. You believe in this and you believe in that. You just stay strong in the Lord. On the job, when people are talking against your religion and your God, hold your peace. Resist the devil. Just resist the devil. You be submitted unto God. Evil thoughts. God's going to allow the evil thoughts to come into their mind. See, it's God that did that with Pharaoh. He drew Pharaoh in after the people. God draws the people in after you. That's what he did with Job. He told the devil, go look, try Job, because God had prepared you. God's preparing you because he's told his overseers, those that over the flock, to tell the people, study my word to show yourself approved. He told his flock, the overseers, to tell your people to pray and to humble themselves. He's told his people to walk circumspectively. Everything you hear, you need to take heed to the words that you hear. There's power, life, and death. And when I'm saying, I'm not just getting up here every morning and every evening and nights and things preaching and teaching you just to hear myself talk. I'm delivering to you what thus saith the Lord to me, to my spirit, to tell you how to survive in this day and time. It's important that we go have to give account for every idle word. His politician said that. What kind of leader was the Pope to judge someone's Christianity? If I don't have a discerning spirit, if the leaders don't be able to point out the wolves, as Paul was pointing out the grievous wolves, he called some by name. He called Alexander the coppersmith by name. He called all sorts of names of people who had did him much harm. Because you have to tell the people when the wolf comes in. If he don't point out the false prophets, if he don't point out those, who will? He's not doing his job as a shepherd. So he wouldn't be so hurt if he didn't realize that's the shepherd's job. The Pope doing his job there. When we see the truth being acted upon, we have to realize and see these things. The Pope helped unite Cuba back with the United States. We have to be a uniter of people, not a divider. We have to go around repairing the breaches thereof, because all nations belong to God. All men, he chooses that all men be saved. Not just some select breed that think that they're the perfect race, that they're the perfect being. All men should be saved, God says. So this vast army, the solid majority, those that has that great preparation, God had told them to get ready, because the design from was within. The evil thoughts these people have. The evil thoughts, verses 10 through 13. You remember I told you Wednesday night, it's about your thought life. You have to be careful, because our thoughts are not like God's thoughts. And God could give you thoughts. He can cause you to hear rumors. God can cause you to be turned over to a reprobate mind. It is God that does all that. That's why I say God has all power. God destroyed the first world that was during the time of evil. It says, because he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. He won't strive with man all the time. The thoughts of man is wicked. The thoughts of man are continually evil. Watch your thought life. That's part of the armor of the Christians, is what the helmet of salvation. That we should bring every thought into the captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down wicked imagination that exalted itself against God. We have no reason to be daydreaming about coveting what someone else has, taking what somebody else has. That's bad thinking. To covet after another man's wife, to covet after someone's material goods, to covet something else, a position of power, a position of authority, that's evil thoughts. We have to watch what we're thinking. That's the problem. Thus says the Lord God, verse 10, it will come about on that day that thoughts will come into your mind. You will devise an evil plan, and you will say, I will go up against an open country. I will come against those who are at rest and peaceful, who live securely, all of them living without walls and having neither bars or gates. They come to take spoil, to seize plunder, to turn your hand against the ruins which are now inhabited, and against the people who are gathered from the nations, who have acquired cattle and goods, who live at the center of the world. Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish. With all its young lions will say to you, have you come to take spoil? Have you assembled your hordes to seize plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, and to take great spoil? We seen God last year, a year before last, which is also Russia. We see it go in and seize Crimea. Croatia, whatever it is, along the Crimean Sea or wherever that is over there. You see that they seize that territory. They want an opening to get a dry dock to get their oil and stuff to Russia. They're united with Iran to come up against Israel. You have to be careful of these unions. It says it'll be a union of many nations. Russia is standing against the other nations because it wants to go into Syria and boost up the government of Assad and build up that region. So that, I told you, Syria was a dangerous place against God's people. And Russia is helping boost that government up. So we see all the forces aligning. It's all behind oil. It's all about merchandise. This guy that the Pope said wasn't a Christian, this guy made the statement out of his own mouth that we should go in, destroy ISIS, destroy these other nations, all these other governments, overthrow them and take their oil. Take their oil. He's ambitious about his plots. He's saying this openly. But most of the Christians, most of the real people of God in this nation is war weary. They're tired of fighting 14, 15 years in Afghanistan. They're fighting in Iraq. They're tired of war, in which only the corrupt politicians and religious leaders and the corrupt, wicked people of God and Magog make all of the money. But we lose our children. We lose all that we have. We pay higher taxes and all this because they're looking for material gain. They're looking to seize that from God's people. Now that they say that these people are vulnerable, we should go in and take their oil. Go in and take these. That's not good medicine to take all medicine. That's not a good practice. Taking is wrong. And God's going to be that defense. He's going to defend these nations. These people of God. The weak and the vulnerable. God says, you fool with them. You fool. You oppress the widow. You oppress the poor, the fatherless. You oppress the sick and the homeless. I'll defend them. You falling right into God's hands. You think by changing laws and changing things. And this great terror hasn't come upon them and they should see it. Everybody was thinking. You remember Ruth, Judge Ginsburg, this older lady on the Supreme Court? She had a heart problem last year, and then she had some other problems. And they said, well, what are you waiting for? When are you going to retire? And she said, maybe when the next president come into office or whatever. They're all looking at her. But God chose to take Scalia. That was a major God decision. Life and death is in God's hands. He held that power. Don't say nobody went before their time. If they went, God took. God allowed this because when talking to Satan, he said, look, you do what you want to him, but you can't take his life. When he was talking in aspects to Job. So if you die, if something happens to you, that had been cleared through God. He took Scalia, and that was a purpose. If you couldn't see the hand of God in that, you're blinded. You're blind. If you couldn't see that fellow went on a hunting expedition and just lay there and they found him in the bed dead. If you couldn't see the hand of God in that, you're blind. We having problems in our Supreme Court. That's the same corrupt court that gave us Citizens United. That's the same court that's trying to change the laws. You can't do those things. There's a battle going on up there. This is the worst Senate we've ever had. This Congress, that's why the uproar, that's why the people are going with the outsiders, the anti-establishment candidate. This is a do-nothing Senate. It has lost all respect. And the qualified senators, most of them resigned, have been lost, or lost elections because Gog has got together with these extreme entities to vote them out because they had corporate or corruptly had drawn boundaries where they had districts where they were all of the same political thought or ideology. And now you have such a corrupt Senate. It's time for this Senate to move on. God has to tear this government apart. Remember I said the United States has to fall from within inside. Before Scalia was dead, you had the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, said he wouldn't do his job. His job is to appoint, and the Senate's job is to put the vote to approve someone that the president appoint to that position to choose a nominee to the Supreme. But he vowed he wouldn't do his job. Chuck Grassley, and I heard this on a Christian station coming up, that those two leading senators voted for the same thing in the election year during Ronald Reagan. They helped put Scalia in there. It was the election year then. And Ronald Reagan put Kennedy on the bench at that time. But they're now they're saying, well, no, we're going to wait and let the people talk. Well, the people voted for Obama. He had 8 years, not 7 years. So that's hypocritical of them. But if the people are not looking at this through religious eyes, you're not looking at this in a godly way, you have your own agenda and your own intent for doing this, then you suffer with what? The mark of the beast, the ways of the world. You're not following God's agenda. God's agenda is righteousness for righteousness' sake. This is larger than what we see. See, some people are blind. They're blinded. They have blinders on and they can't hear. So, as we see, God's organizing all this because he has his people under divine protection. Don't worry about what's going on in the nation or what's going on in the world. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. So that's what God's word says. No weapon formed against God's people will prosper, because this your father's the captain of this ship. You sit back and let your father row his boat. You let him be God. Don't you try to interfere and be God. You just let that battle go on. God is their wall. He's their far around them. But you remember I said it's something we have to do. We have to stand. We have to present our bodies as living sacrifices unto God. We have to allow God to use us. So we have to stand at this time. We can't be pacifists. We have to be like the Pope. We have to speak out against that which is wrong. We have to stand up for justice. Do what is right. All this is by God. We can't just hide and say, well, I ain't in it. You can't just hide. Most churches not addressing these issues. They pick and choose the issues. But Paul said, I haven't shunned to declare the whole counsel of God to you. We can't pick and choose issues. I can't just preach on prosperity and money coming. I can't just preach on faith. I can't just preach on repentance. I have to preach the whole counsel of God. All of this is in there. It's in there. Does he say, what are you worried about somebody doing you something for? They killed Stephen, but Stephen wasn't worried. Stephen prayed for him, huh? Didn't God's word tell you, if you comfort in his word, you know he has vengeance as he is? He said, he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. If you have that confidence, you're not worried. You don't want to defend yourself. He says, fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy the whole soul and body in hell. That's what fear. It is God. It is he who brings the enemy against his people, and it's he who fights for his people. God's doing everything. When God does this, that's when the heathen will know that's God. That's what I say. When you see certain things happening in the world, you can see that only could have happened. Only God could have did that. See, a lot of people want a sign or a miracle, and there's signs and wonders going on every day, but they're looking through the wrong lenses, and they can't see God's more busy at work now in this end time than he ever was. And I was telling my wife that the other night. You know, God has worked so much in my life now. Man, I just see God all the time and everything. He's always been there. Even when I was ignorant of it, God was right there. So that's why he says, Peter, when thou come around, strengthen that brother. This Pope, the Jesuit Pope that they appointed now, he come from a different background. He don't live like the rest of the popes. I hadn't been raised, I wasn't reared like the rest of the preachers I know. Now, that's a difference you have to see in your life, that there's a reason you are where you are this morning. There's a reason for everything in your life. If you're not trying to think of some great and marvelous thing what the world can see you on social media and some popularity thing, you'll see that your job is just as important as anybody else's job this morning. What you're doing yourself is very, very important. Don't let nobody minimize what you're doing. It's very important the way you live, what you're doing, what you're saying. The defeat of his enemies. The defeat of his enemies. Now, we know how this thing ends. Everybody says we went to the end of the book. We went to Revelation and we know how this book ends. The devil loses in the end. God's enemies lose in the end. God repeats that in the 17th verse. The defeat of his enemies. He says, thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old times by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days, many years, that I would bring thee against them? God had said that, and that's why he prepared people, and that's why I prepare you. As Jesus did his disciples, he says that earthquakes, wars, and rumors of wars, all these things was going to come. He says, see that you be not moved. See, God's true prophets are telling people there's going to be persecution. There's going to be tribulation. Whereas the other prophets that's telling you peace, peace, everything's going to be all right. You're going to have peace and then God's going to come and rapture you and snatch you out of here. But God's people are saying, buckle up your seatbelt because it's fit to get rough. It's about to get rough. You're going to go through the times of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be a time to separate the men from the boys, the women from the girls. Those that trust God from those that don't trust God. He's going to separate the wheat from the tares. This is the big one coming, honey. This is the big one here. Buckle in. You better be prayed up and studied up. It's about to fall. God, you fit to see him defeat his enemies. And the heathens going to be so scared. That's when they go bow down and say he is the Lord. You see, the Egyptians, when he destroyed the Egyptian army in the sea, everybody, all of the heathen around say, hey, they God fights for them. Their God parted the Red Sea and drowned the Egyptians in there. Everybody go, no, look, God did that for them. Everybody go, no, he's the Lord. Let's read that in the Living Bible. It says, this is what the sovereign Lord asks. Are you the one I was talking about long ago? When I announced to Israel's prophets that in the future I would bring you against his people. See, a lot of times a false prophet don't know he a false prophet. If you a professor of Christianity, you don't know that. God has blinded you to that fact. You think that you will corner a false prophet or someone that's not a Christian and they're going to say, oh no, I ain't a Christian, I was just pretending. They don't know this. They are willing to fight this to the death. These are the ones that was doing everything in Jesus' name. And at the end, Jesus say, depart from me, I never knew you. They say, well, look, didn't we feed the sick in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? They were doing this under the guise of being Christians, but they never knew the Lord. The Lord never knew them. They didn't have fellowship with him. And that's what the Pope's trying to tell you. This person, he don't know all the Christian lingo. He's not a Christian. How many people seen when the reporters was writing it and he tried to blame it on Tony Perkins and he said, 2 Corinthians. Me and Minister Miller were sitting down there talking last night and he was talking about that. Minister Miller's 80-some years old. He says, this guy says 2 Corinthians 3. No Christian calls it 2 Corinthians. All Christians call it 2 Corinthians. Your words betray you. That's what he get for talking so much. Sometime if you hush your mouth, if you close your mouth, people won't know that you're ignorant of something. Your own words betray you sometimes. But that was the Pope's job to expose that. And the Pope didn't labor on that. He went on to the next thing. This guy, now he's talking about fighting and boycotting Apple. And the reporter said that all his people got Apple iPhones and Apple electronics and gadgetry. And he's saying boycott them. Isn't this hypocritical of him? Microsoft and Google took off. See, because the government's trying to go somewhere they don't belong. But you say make an exception because this was a terrorist. You make one exception, then you're going to have to make two. The devil wants to open the door. You give him the inch, he'll take a mile. Apple CEO is right in this aspect. If some things as a private company, you have to stand against the government. When the government's wrong, you have to just take whatever consequences there is for civil obedience. But it's better to obey God than man. When the government's wrong, the government's wrong. God punishes those governments that's wrong. Those governments that's surrounding Israel to destroy Israel, you stand for something, Israel. God's going to fight your battle for you. He appointed that government and he can take that government out. Now, God said he had been prophesying this all along by his people. Let's start with the first prophet. Let's start with Moses. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, this is what Moses says. We'll read it out the New Living Bible. He says, "Now I raise my hand to heaven and declare, as surely as I live, when I sharpen my flashing sword," that's God speaking, when he flashes his sharpened sword, he's getting ready to fight. If you see it in Isaiah, you'll see where the Lord comes from Bozrah with his feet where he'd been walking and trouncing and stepping on the enemy. He's been trampling out the grapes of wrath where his faithful lightning is stored. In other words, God's comes down and fight for his people. He fought in the hailstorms. He fight with all kinds. Why do you think we have the earth fighting back now? You have freezing blizzards, you have hail, you have rainstorms, earthquakes, tsunamis, all these things. This is signs of God fighting. It's taking a toll. Insurance companies are suffering from a lot of this because they have to pay the premiums to restore a lot of that that's been destroyed. It's wreaking havoc. God is fighting, and a lot of us are not spiritually aware that he's arisen. He has begun to fight. It says, when I sharpen my flashing sword and begin to carry out justice, I will take revenge on my enemies and repay those who reject me. In other words, the words that we tell you, if you don't, he says, he who receiveth you receiveth me. Because as apostles of God, as preachers and teachers and disciples of Jesus Christ, we tell you what the word of God says. If you reject that word, you're not rejecting us. You're rejecting the word of God. It doesn't hurt me for somebody not to pay attention to God's word. I'm safely and I'm going to abide in God's word. And I tell you to take heed to God's word. Take heed to God's warnings. But if you don't take heed, your blood on your own hands. He says, if a man don't take heed, say, but you go tell him, Ezekiel. You tell him what I said, and if he don't take heed, his blood on his own hand. So he'll tell you. He says, and repay those who reject me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword will devour flesh, the blood of the slaughtered and the captives, and the heads of the enemy leaders. Rejoice with him, you heavens, and let all of God's angels worship him. Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles, huh? Hold on. Can I read something wrong here? Verse 43. This is in Deuteronomy, right? Let me read this over again. Rejoice with him, you heavens, and let all of God's angels worship him. Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles, and the angels, and let all the angels be strengthened in him, for he will avenge the blood of his children. I didn't read that wrong. He did say, rejoice with his people, you Gentiles. Is this the book of Deuteronomy? He's telling the Gentiles to rejoice. He's saying, who is Gentiles? Anyone that's not a Jew, right? He's telling, because he had sent a light. Jesus is that light. So he's talking to all nations. He says, rejoice, you Gentiles. God's going to fight for you. There are people all over the world that rejoicing in Jesus Christ. They've seen the light. How many of you have seen the light? The light is the light of the world. The sun is the light. He's that light that cometh into the world. Rejoice, you just, that's written in the second law. In other words, Deuteronomy is the second given of the law. And it's telling the Gentiles to rejoice. All along, the mystery was hid in Christ Jesus. That he was the God of the Gentiles. Read New Testament. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. Because God had said all men was his. Abraham was the father of many nations. Don't let man separate you and separate different groups. That's not a Christian who does that. Don't let anyone build the wall. God had torn down the wall of partition of handwriting of ordinances against us. If you build again those things that he tore down, you become the transgressor. So are you the one he was talking about? See, sometimes you could be it and not know you it. These people are enemies of God and don't know it. Judas was an enemy of God. He said, one of you a devil I chosen. He had been walking with Jesus all that time, but he was the devil that Jesus had chosen. He betrayed Jesus. He was the one. He was it. And back during the time of Moses, he had already prophesied this. He prophesied the end from the beginning because he's the God of it. Okay, that was just one example, huh? It's many examples. David in the book of Psalm. The book of Psalm, the 9th chapter, 15th through the 16th Psalm. Let's read that out of the New Living also. The nations have fallen into the pit they dug for others. Their own feet have been caught in the trap they set. Old folks say, you dig one ditch, you dig better dig two, because the ditch you dig may be for you. You talking about putting up a wall for immigrants, he hadn't even went back and studied what was going on. Do you know the out-migration from the United States to Mexico is larger than the in-migration? Do you know that they schedule so many guest workers to come in each nation to do the work here in the nation because the people of this nation is not willing to do that work? It's strenuous labor, and they're not willing to do that. Jeff Sessions from Alabama, all those people were thrown in the dilemma when they put up a law against the immigrants 2 or 3 years back. They couldn't get their strawberries, they couldn't get their cantaloupe, they couldn't get their harvest out of the field because the very people that were doing that, the laborers, they withheld their wages and they sent them back. But their food and their goods was rotting on the vine. The Lord of Sabaoth, he watches over the laborer. He watches over that little guy that you think is nothing. We need him. We need every member, even though they don't seem significant. Your little toe is very significant to you. Your little finger is very significant. Every part is there. You know, a lot of people say, we don't know what the appendix for. You can take it out and we don't need it. God put it in there for a reason. We might not know, but God knows and understands. Let's look at David. He says, the nations have fallen into the pit that they have dug. This guy keeps digging pits and he keeps falling in them. Watch that kind of guy. The Lord is known for his justice. The wicked are trapped by their own deeds. It says Selah. In other words, meditate and think on that. That wicked device, those things that you do, you're just like Haman. Haman laid a trap for the Jews. He was hung on his own gallows that he had built for somebody else. You watch digging ditches now. You watch doing evil. What a man soweth, that he shall reap. That's the word of God. When you talk about somebody, there's 3 or 4 other people talking about you. It's dangerous. It's contagious. We have to take heed to the word of God. Speak evil of no man. We're getting ready to get close to closing here. Let's talk about the great Leviathan. That's in the book of Isaiah too. It's in the book of Job when God talks about Leviathan in a certain way. But Isaiah, you remember I told you, certain authors use certain scriptures and certain words in certain ways. Listen to what Isaiah says in the 27th chapter of Isaiah, the first through the third verse, I think it is, the second verse. In the Amplified Version, the deliverance of Israel. In that day, the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great and mighty sword, rescuing Israel from her enemy, even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. A dragon in this beast, Leviathan, is a great somebody, speaking great swelling words, a great leader. He lives in the sea, it says. What's the sea? If you read and look at how the sea is used, a sea is a multitude of people. When it comes up out of the sea, out of a multitude of people. Remember I say he had a solid majority? There's a multitude of people that this man, this Leviathan, has arisen. But God's going to flee, go kill that serpent. He's going to try to get away from it. And I've never seen these people, Hezbollah, this political guy the Pope is talking about, ISIS, all of them, try to escape. But God knows how to cut the head off the serpent. God cuts the head off the serpent. Because he says, the serpent shall bruise your heel, but you're going to bruise his head. God's people are lowering the boom. That was a hard boom the Pope lowered. You know, I'm not a follower of these things, but I have to listen to be aware to see how God's working. But when somebody lowers the boom, you have to know when the boom is being lowered or you walk into that same boom now. So he's lowering the boom here and God's lowering the boom on these people. You better be sure you're not caught up in that. That's why he said don't be partake of another man's evil deeds. The multitude of the people that follow this guy, in other words, they've received their mark. ISIS, they should tell you when you start going out there talking about blowing up innocent people and doing this, you usually die and you usually die a terrible death. You don't see them really taking them into captivity. They usually die right there. And that's Jihad Joe or whatever his name is. They send those drones in there. You're talking about fighting against the government. You will lose that battle because God had given the government that sword to wield against evil people. That's why it says obey the authority of those who have rule over you. Don't be a rebellion within yourself. You'd better be within God. Different people groups. Joel. Listen, that Joel talks about Leviathan as a congress, a different group of people. That's why I talk about our senators. It's an organized effort in the United States of America that our political leaders are aligned against justice. Whether they be in the Supreme Court, the Senate, the House of Representatives, governors, mayors, police, whatever they be, our people are aligned against God. Christians are false professors, a good bit of them. And that's what we have to be aware of. God is good. He's using his messengers to weed out the tares. He's using his people, the reapers, to come in and separate this. Listen at Joel 3:1 through about 4. It says, for behold, in those climactic days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, when the church is coming into its fullness, coming into bloom of what it should be, enjoying the peace throughout the nations, you've seen this Arab Spring, and I told you it would end here in the United States, and you see the uprising against the establishment. The Republican Party is torn all apart. The establishment candidate is at about 9 to 7%, all the way toward the bottom of these two anti-establishment candidates. It can't last. And the Democratic Party, this old man that's leading this, is a Democratic Socialist. It can't last. So he says, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather together all the Gentile nations that were hostile to my people and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. The Lord has judged, that's what Jehoshaphat means in that context, that these people, these senators, these legislatures, these police, these chiefs, these governors, we see in the state of Louisiana, our governor had here a 2 billion dollar hole. And it's no use the senators saying they were deceived. They, our senators and representatives, they should have known. They shouldn't have allowed this to happen. They were our elected officials to watch out for our benefit. They want to blame it on Our Lady of the Lake. Baton Rouge General was smart enough to get from under there, not be a part of that league. Now Our Lady of the Lake and some other hospitals want to pull out that deal where the governor signed a blank. They signed a blank contract. The papers were blank. It was just only one page filled out. Now the hospital saying that was a bad deal. So you have Medicaid. You have all these people that are going to be left without health care in the state of Louisiana. But it has to fall apart. It has to, because the foundation is wrong. It was a league of people that did wickedly that God has exposed, but they're still throughout this nation trying to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But God breaks that up. There's not going to be no single individual that's a Superman. It's going to be God that shows this and displays this. He says, and there I will deal with them and enter into judgment with them there for the treatment of my people. All of those people you denied medical coverage, disability benefits, all those veterans that you said if they would fight for the nation, now you have a VA that's backed up with so much many veterans not getting the care that they need. You have disability and Social Security where people paid into those all of their lives and they have a 5-year backlog of clearing their cases. God has to judge these things. And God will judge. And we have to be standing on the side of righteousness and helping in this judgment. He says, my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and because they have encroached on my land and divided it up. So listen to me, God's people. The conclusion here to this is follow God. Follow God. Be strong. That's what he told Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. As I was with my servant Moses, I'll be with you. Meditate in God's word day and night. Don't daydream. Meditate in God's word day and night. Study to show yourselves approved workmen unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon himself has said that. Fear God. Fear God. The beginning of the whole matter. Fear God. So this is coming about. But God's servant, just as the Pope, must warn the flock that they're overseers of. Heavenly Father,